Lord, I pray that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable to you, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some years ago, I was driving on Staten Island, and it was bright, bright, sunshiny day, the kind of sun that blinds you as you're driving and you're trying to find a way past your visor to be able to look at the road. And I was driving near an intersection and did not notice that the light had turned red. And so I slid through the intersection and realized halfway through that I was running a red light. Now, there was a crossing guard, a typical New Yorker, who saw me and blazed in anger and put her hand out and said, "Stop! It's red!" And so I backed the car up, and then her parting shot to me was, "It couldn't be any redder!" I thought of that story when I was reading the story of the disciples today. The signs couldn't have been any redder, but they couldn't figure it out. And I think that that's part of what we moderns call denial. When there's something that's obviously going on, but we do not want to deal with it. We've all dealt in denial, haven't we? We don't want to go to the doctor because if we don't know about it, it can't kill us. We don't want to deal with family problems because they'll go away on their own. We don't want to deal with death, so we don't make funeral arrangements. We don't do any of that stuff because if we do, we might die. Even though we're all going to do it someday. We're in denial. And that's what happened to the disciples. It couldn't have been clearer to them because Jesus took them aside. He was popular by this time, but he said he didn't want anyone to know what he was doing and where he was going because he wanted to teach his disciples. And he didn't just say this once. It said he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "I'm gonna die. You know, fellas, I'm going to die. And this is how it's going to happen. Somebody's going to betray me, and I'm going to die. You know, I'm going to die. Have I told you late? I'm going to die." And it says they did not understand what he was saying. They were in denial. And they were afraid to ask him. Now, I can understand that part because the week before when we read about Peter taking Jesus aside after he said he was going to die, and he said, "Oh, don't talk like that." And what did Jesus do? He said, "Get out of my face, you're the devil." So I guess they would be afraid to confront him again on this matter. So they just were in denial. It's not going to happen. Messiahs don't die. They get armies together and they beat everybody and they establish a kingdom. Messiahs don't die. So maybe he's talking in metaphor. It's not going to happen. It's so easy to fool ourselves, even when it couldn't get any redder. They were in denial. And so when you're in denial, you have to fixate on something else so that you don't deal with whatever the bad stuff is. And so they fixated on who was the most important of the group. And they knew that this argument shouldn't be argued in front of Jesus, so they got out of earshot, thinking that he wouldn't know what they were talking about. And so they were going back and forth, arguing with each other. And I could just hear it, can't you? "Peter, you know, fellas, I got out of the boat and walked on water. None of you wusses were able to do that. And you know, if there's a battle and there's a conflict, I'm going to be in charge and I'll be the one to protect Jesus. I've got his back. I'm the most important." And I can hear James and John say, "You know, we didn't earn the name Sons of Thunder for nothing. We've got this. We're the most important." I can hear Judas say, "But I've got the purse strings. I'm the most important. You can't go anywhere without the money. I'm the most important." And then I can hear Matthew say, "But you know, I have an in with the IRS. I know the government and I can get everybody together. I'm the most important. And so then Jesus asked the questions, what were you fellows talking about? And they didn't want to say because they knew that this was kind of silliness. And then he said to them, I want to tell you about greatness. And so often we misconstrue what he says. He said to them, whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. And we think of that as Jesus saying, you can't have ambition and you have to be holy doormats. But I don't believe that's what he's saying. He didn't say, don't be ambitious, don't try to be great. What he said was, I'm going to redefine what greatness is. And if you want to be really great, this is how you do it. You serve. And it's been borne out in history that the greatest people, the people that we honor, the people that we think about are the servants. Who was one of the greatest saints in history? When we think of saints, we think of Mother Teresa. Why was that? Because she served people that nobody else wanted to deal with. And I remember at her funeral, it was such an incredible thing to watch a Hindu who had been, he was a high government official, come to her body and bow before it. Why did he do that? Because she was great. Because she served. Then he went on, he takes a child in his arms and he says, whoever welcomes such a child in my name welcomes me. And we Americans, when we see that picture, we go, oh. But the disciples went, oh. Because what he was talking about was the most vulnerable. People who cannot help themselves. People who are in harm's way. People who we might say, you did it to yourself. Why do I have to pick you up and help you? Those are the people that he says you have to welcome them as you would welcome me. That is not a job for the tender at heart. That's a job for tough people. This is why we minister a world away in Honduras, because there are people there who, if not for that clinic, would not see another day. This is why we go down to Milwaukee and we minister in an urban setting. Even though we live in paradise and we don't have to do that, we go to Milwaukee and we minister there and we help the people of Milwaukee. Why? Because we want to be great. We're ambitious to be great. This is why we're going to have a poverty symposium, so that we can deal with the issues here in Northern Door County, not because we want to be good, we want to be great. And Jesus tells us how. He says, if you want to be ambitious and great, then you take the people who can't help themselves and you pull them up. That's greatness. It's not easy work. Sometimes we don't get thanked for that work, but it is great work. And the people that we honor in our past histories are people who strived for greatness. I hope that we have an ambition to be great. I want people to say of me, that was a great person. Not because of my preaching, not because of how I am in this church, but because I lifted somebody up who needed help and could not help themselves. This is greatness, and this is what Jesus was talking about. So I hope I've left you with two things. The first is, denial can only get us so far, but let's face life head on. What if the disciples had faced it head on? It still would have been grief. There still would have been heartache. But they would have been in better shape to deal with their losses and to deal with their triumphs. So let's not be in denial. And secondly, let's strive to be great. And greatness means service to others and picking people up who can't help themselves. Let us pray. Lord, I ask that you would help us to be great people. People that want to lift others up. And I thank you that we can be those arms and feet of Jesus, reaching the oppressed, reaching those who are hungry and tired and heartsick. Help us, O Lord, to aspire to greatness this week. In Jesus' name, amen.